Scripture reading this morning is from Luke 4, verses 16 to 30. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue, as he normally did, and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the people, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." Everyone was raving about Jesus, so impressed were they by the gracious words flowing from his lips. They said, "This is Joseph's son, isn't it?" Then Jesus said to them, "Undoubtedly, you will quote this saying to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what you've heard you did in Capernaum.'" He said, "I assure that no prophet is welcome to the prophet's hometown. And I can assure that there are many widows in Israel during Elijah's time where it didn't rain for 3.5 years and there was a great food shortage in the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to a widow in the city of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. There were also many persons with skin diseases in Israel during the time of the prophet Elijah, but none of them were cleansed. Instead, Naaman the Syrian was cleansed." When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with anger. They rose up and ran him out of town. They led him to the crest of the hill on which their town had been built so that they could throw him off the cliff. But he passed through the crowd and went his way. This is the word of God.
I'm trembling as I begin this sermon. There are no cliffs around here, I'm hoping. You know, Christianity makes really amazing claims about who God is. We believe in God who is sovereign over all things, who created all things, but at the same time revealed himself in Jesus as one who came as the ultimate perfect servant of mankind. Both things simultaneously. It's hard to grasp. It's hard to see sometimes. A few years ago, I was down at the beach. In the pre-dawn hours, I was looking for surf, and there wasn't any surf, but what I saw there was amazing to me. In those pre-dawn hours, as the darkness was fading and as the world was just beginning to brighten up a little bit, the color of the sky was exactly like the color of the ocean, just a steel gray. It created this illusion of the two blending together. Infinite sky and infinite sea blended together, heavens and the earth. And it made me think about this God that we worship. This God that we worship, that we believe, deigned to come to earth, to cast aside heaven and come here in order to touch and to heal the broken. Our scripture today talks about a day when Jesus came into town. He came into his hometown of Nazareth, to be exact. Now, Jesus is just coming off having been baptized in the Jordan River, where the Holy Spirit came down upon him and empowered him to begin his ministry. He'd just come off of 40 days in the desert where he was hounded by the devil. He was tempted in the same way that we are often tempted. to give ourselves over to materialism and to power, to serve and worship that power. He was tempted to abuse the love and the faithfulness of God by challenging it, by testing it. Well, Jesus was tempted in many of the ways that we are tempted every single day. But of course, he overcame every temptation. He was victorious over everyone in ways that we obviously are not. Well, after that time in the desert, he went up to Capernaum, where he was able to do some wonderful miracles. And then he came down to his hometown of Nazareth. And he went to the synagogue and he asked if he could go ahead and be one of the readers in the service that day. And when his time came, he stood up and he took a scroll, and it was the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And in that scroll was a message, one of those messages to God's people that we've been talking about the last few weeks. Those messages that God gave to his people in those days gone by when their nation was blown apart and they were despairing. God had given them these messages, and this particular message of hope. Of hope, of a day when he would send a servant, he would send a savior to heal them. And that servant would say the words that Jesus read from that scroll that day. Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Well, after Jesus read these words, as was customary, he sat down in order to, you know, teach a little bit, to give his opinion, to give his take on those words. And the words that he said caused a little mini revolution right there in Nazareth. Because when he sat down, he simply said this: "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, everything that God has promised, everything that our nation has been waiting for hundreds of years, everything that you have been hoping for and praying for, everything is here right now. And Jesus said, "I have brought it. It's in me." Jesus made this remarkable claim about himself to the people of his hometown. And the people of his hometown, they heard it, and they were skeptical, to say the least. It's not hard, I think, to understand why they might feel that way. I mean, most of us, I think, have experienced, at least I have, coming back to your hometown. And sometimes it's hard for people who know us really well, who are really familiar with us, it's hard for them to see maybe what we've become or where we're going. I grew up in a little tiny town. My town had one general store, Perkins General Store. I grew up there. And of course, you know, eventually I went to college. And every time I would come back from college, I would be a little different. Now, this was in the 70s, so you got to cut me a little slack. One time I came back, you know, from being at college, and I'd always had long hair, but now my hair was styled, you know. I discovered hairstylists in the city. Next time I came, my hair was done, and I had beads, man, like lots of love beads. Next time I came, I had the hair, I had the beads, and I had these gigantic shoes. Super high shoes, like these are like pylons, the heels on these things. They almost killed me twice, two separate instances. That's a different story. But here was the deal. Every time I came in, I come wobbling, you know, into Perkins General Store. And old Mr. Perkins, he would look at me as if I hadn't changed at all. I was the same kid he'd always seen. It was as if he didn't even notice how hip and sophisticated I'd become. Because he didn't. He saw me as the same kid I'd always been, that third grade kid that he had to rescue from Cliff Doyle when he wanted to beat me up in the parking lot. See, he saw me with a little bit of a prejudgment, you know, a little prejudice, right? That prevented him, that really closed him off from seeing who I had become. Now, as I tell this, of course, it is possible that he was not pointing out what I had become out of mercy. Spare me the embarrassment. But the fact is, we do that sometimes. And, you know, when it's us, when it's in our lives, it's actually kind of sweet, I think, you know, as I was thinking about this. It's kind of cool that within our families and within those who have known us forever, it's kind of comforting to know that no matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter what we become or think we become, that there will always be those people who can really remember where we came from, who we really are. That's kind of sweet. But it wasn't so sweet in Nazareth that day. It wasn't so sweet there because what Jesus was offering to those people who knew him the best was an opportunity to follow him first. To wrap their arms around him and believe that what he had said was true. Instead, they rejected him. That familiarity that they had with him made them believe that, you know, they knew everything they needed to know about Jesus. And they rejected him. Believing that they knew everything there was to know about Jesus, it closed them off from seeing who he had become, Messiah, Savior, for them. And so they rejected him. And they actually tried to kill him for the first time of many times to come. It's a shame that they thought that they knew everything that there was to know about Jesus. Because look at what he was bringing to them that day. Good news. He was bringing good news to the poor. Good news to anyone who was lacking in any way. He was bringing the news that God was favorably disposed to those who are lacking. He was bringing the news that if they turned to him in openness and expectation, that God was ready to fill those needs, those places of longing. God's ready to fill those up. He was bringing the news that God was there to fill those places, those cavities in us that are open, that are longing, that are filled with pain. So he brought good news that they could have received if they'd been open to him. He brought good news, he brought awesome news of release of prisoners, release from bondage. In the same way that God had released his people from physical bondage when they were in Babylon and hundreds of years before that when they were in Egypt, he released them from bondage. Now he was ready to release people from even more insidious kinds of bondage, like bondage to hopelessness, bondage to fear, Bondage to those pains that are sometimes stuffed way down, that sometimes lead us into even more kinds of bondage. Bondage to alcohol, to drugs, to sex, to money, to work. Anything that we can find to sort of stave off those feelings of pain, to kind of push that down. Jesus was ready to give them that news, and they could have received that news that day if they'd been open to him. Jesus had amazing news that day for them of God who wanted to bring sight to the blind and liberate those who were oppressed, to flood the darkness with light, to scatter the cockroaches of meaninglessness. I used to live in New York, and if you came in at night, you turned on the kitchen light, you'd see all the cockroaches disappear, run for the walls where it was dark again. Well, Jesus is better than that, because Jesus brings a light that dispels darkness of despair and of meaninglessness in our lives. He lifts the burdens of sorrow, burdens of anxiety about the future, of guilt from the past. He brings light to lift those burdens. Oh, that was the message that he brought that day. They could have received that message if they'd been open to him. He said, now is the day. All these things are possible today. But they closed themselves to an encounter with Jesus that day. So what about us? Everybody has certain judgments about Jesus, don't we? About what he is, who he is, what he can really do. Everybody has an opinion about Jesus. Jesus is popular. You know, when they put Jesus on the cover of Time magazine, their sales always spike. The only one that comes even close is Mary. Everybody has an opinion about Jesus. But you know, sometimes people's opinions about Jesus are formed by bad teaching sometimes. Sometimes people's opinions about Jesus are formed by encounters with his people that are not always so positive. Sometimes people's opinions about Jesus are formed by disappointments with God, what they believe God should have done. And sometimes people's opinions about Jesus that have been formed by their experiences, sometimes bad experiences, they can close them off to the possibility of what God can really do. God, who, where we are lacking, can fill us. Where we're in bondage, can free us. Where we're in darkness or weighted down, can lift us. And all those things are available to us today. All of that has been fulfilled in Jesus today. Now, sometimes coming to know the fullness of who Jesus is and all that he can do, it takes time to do that. It takes a lifetime to really get that. Now, sometimes we have those wonderful experiences in our lives where, you know, we're in darkness and we're in confusion and we open up a door to our hearts and it's like we're flooded with the light of Jesus and we just get it and we're just on board and we just know. But even in those cases, it takes a lifetime to really understand the fullness of everything that Jesus can do, the way he answers prayer. It's a process that takes time. As we open methodically doors in our hearts, in our souls that need to be open to let Jesus in, as we understand and come to understand the fullness of who he really is. But it begins, you know, with that recognition that Jesus is with us and that God is for us. For us. You know, that day that I was down at the beach and I saw the gray sky and the gray ocean that day, and it just all seemed to blend together, and it seemed to bring home to me this miracle, this thing that we believe that God is really with us, that heaven and that earth are bound together right now, right now. Just as the dawn was beginning to break on the horizon, a county worker drove up in his truck. He gets out. And as the light began to break and that sun began to rise, the clouds were just haloed in this translucent glory. And those yellow beams, those orange beams of light, they went playing across the ocean. It was so incredibly beautiful. And this guy gets out of his truck and he pulls his hood over his head. And he puts his earbuds in his ears. And he got his trash bag and his trash picker and he fixed his gaze firmly on the ground and began picking up trash. Please know I'm not faulting this guy for doing his job. He's one of those wonderful people that gets up before dawn and makes the beautiful, you know, the beach beautiful for the rest of us. But the image, I think, was instructive. Yeah. In the midst of the glory, in the midst of the glory, in the midst of the glory, where is our gaze? Where is our gaze? We believe in a God who's strange. A God who created everything, who holds the keys to life and to death, but donned a towel of a servant and washed the feet of his disciples, who gave his life and then stayed with us. So that where we are poor, we can be filled. Where we are in bondage, we can be released. Where we are in darkness or carrying a burden, we can have light. This is a God who is with us and a God who is for us. If we'll open ourselves to him. God wants to take his gracious hand and lift our chin. He wants to breathe his holy breath upon our eyelids that are closed, and gently command us, open. See. I am. This is for you. If you'll open yourself to me. Praise God. Praise God today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how can we wrap our minds around who you are? How can we come to know who you are except by faith? So God, give us faith. Give us faith. Help us, oh God, to lift our chins today. To see you, to see your translucent glory, to see how you are with us and for us in this world today. Let us lay before you all that we are, so that you may take it up and make us all that we can be. And we ask this today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I guess the first step is to trust in Jesus. So we have the perfect hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," number 462. Why don't we rise up as we're able and let's sing this out to our Lord. Verses 1 and 3 and 4.
That's such a great song.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus,